Blog Talk Radio.
There coming to you live from Revolutionary Gospel News. This is your host once again. This is Joseph Smith, the author of The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, and The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount. If you want to support my ministry in this radio station, go out and get one of those books at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or one of these book outlets. Okay, today I'll be talking to you guys about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I was out this week, and I sat down. I had a study with some brothers, and I was asking because they were witnessing. They were telling me they had been out and how many doors they have knocked on, and they told me the most uncommon known thing today is what is this sin? Where all this begin at? You know, what do they need to be saved from? So today I'd like to address that. You know, what man needs to know what he needs to be saved from, because this all starts in the Garden of Eden. And everybody was telling you these little simple stories about, oh, they ate an apple or, you know, some kind of fruit, and therefore God was angry with them. It's really been, and they really make it a lot more simpler than what it really is. And a lot of people don't understand there is an eternal law, you know, that existed before the written law existed, you know, because Cain could not have been guilty, which was the child of Adam and Eve, could I have been guilty of murder unless there was already a law that existed, even though it was not written, you know, for us to have on record, he couldn't have been guilty of murder. And that's the same thing with the tree. You know, because there were some commandments given, and when they ate of the tree, they broke some commandments, and they broke, I believe it was almost almost seven commandments they broke at that tree. So it was not that easy. So let's look at the Bible account of what happened and where it all began. We find out, I'm going to jump here to different scriptures, but let's start out because this is the Sabbath. Let's give us a second to honor our God, and just quick prayer right here, and we go right in to our measures. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I humbly bow myself today. I ask that you give me direction and what to speak and what to teach today to these people. I thank you, Lord, for everybody who has come out. I ask that you will bless the mind of the people and what the deliverance the plan is all together, Lord. We thank you for this day, and thank you for another Sabbath. Thank you just for waking up, food to eat, a place to sleep, and a job to go to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, it starts all, so I'm at Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we know in the very start of time, God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 14, it says God, and jumping down because he talks about the creation of the earth, because before the earth was without form in the void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. In other words, his power and authority moved. And God said, notice that, Elohim said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So he is the creator of all things. It, with him starts, you can see that in verse 14. It says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be for seasons, let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So time begins with God. That's why we're on a calendar and we have all these different seasons and different things happening in the space, because he said he meant that for signs, because he's already looking ahead and he knows the events that are going to take place. So he meant these things for us for warnings also, as well as our time. But we can go to, I'm looking at the creation of man. Okay, and verse 2, chapter 2, and verse 8, or actually verse 7. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Okay, became a living soul. And out of the ground made the Lord. Hold on, sorry, I jumped the verse altogether. It's verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. He put him in the garden. And I'm going on down once again. I'm going to hit verse 16. This is chapter 2. That was 7 and 8. Now I'm looking at verse 16. And he said, and the Lord God commanded, notice this, the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then he goes on, and you follow on, you find out he made women, and God made, he took and brought all the animals to Adam, and you go down and you read in the rest of those verses there, and you find out that women was created for man, and was created to be a wife to man, to be a helpmate. He didn't create us to be together in the same-sex marriages and same-sex relationships. He made a man and a woman. He did not make the same kind of being. So, you see, this all starts with God. So he placed the man in the Garden of Eden. He placed us there to till it. He's like the Garden of the Eden. Okay? He's sitting there because he was just not set around. A lot of people look at life like that. Because you look at verse 15, 2 and 15, But Genesis said, and the Lord took in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So there's another thing. We were intended for work. We weren't intended just to sit around on our butts and collect a check or something like that. So it's in man nature to work. So when you find men who don't want to work, that's just simple laziness. And I have days I don't want to be at a job, but yet if I don't, I need to have some kind of stuff important because we were not meant to just be set, be idle. Okay. And so as we go on, get to chapter 3, we find out what is happening to man. What is going to disconnect man from God and make God distance himself, and what we need, what was Jesus for, you know, why he had to come along and die for us to bring us back at one with God. Okay, now he says, now the serpent was more subtle, this is verse 3, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Okay? And so we look at this, then you see, he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. Now here is the first blasphemy. See, this is what people are don't look at. Satan calls, would tell the lady or tell Eve that God is lying. You're not going to die. That's the first blasphemy. That's why he said that is an unforgivable sin, because that first person to do that is Satan. And God said, and the serpent, verse 4 said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. For God do know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. If you looked at my post and you looked at my slideshow, I have those eyes, the all-seeing eye, because Eve is known as the gazing woman. See, Satan had seen her. Okay, and people think that was a snake, that was an angel. It was not a snake. Verse 12 lets you know that the old dragon called the old serpent. I'm not reading that right now, but you can look at chapter 12 and you'll see what I'm talking about. So you see that she was gazing. You know, and everybody used these hieroglyphics. They don't even understanding that it represents the all-seeing eye, the all-knowing. She was gazing at that tree. The gazing woman. And so she's sitting there looking at a tree, and he's seen that, so he came over there and inquired to see what kind of knowledge she is. So curious, evidently she's coveting, you know, because she's looking at that tree and she's desiring it, but has already been given a commandment that she was not to eat of that tree. So he checked her knowledge. Then through his deceitfulness, he's going to tell her that she may eat of that tree, and she should surely not die. She's not going to die. That's God is lying. And that's why I say when you call the word of God a lie, that's why you end up in a position where you can't be brought back from. You become unredeemable. And see, people don't understand when she was looking at the tree, she was coveting. He was promising her, Satan promised her enlightenment so that you may know the knowledge of good and evil. But there was no need to know the knowledge of good and evil. Why do you need to know that? There was evil had not entered into the world up until that time. They were not under, it was nothing of importance. So here it is. He's promising her to enlighten her mind. He's saying, this is going to make you wise. That's like today. You know, in a lot of our education system, we have a lot of school of thoughts from different men, and a lot of them spinning off Immanuel Kant, who's come along with relativity, and there was no more absolutes when he come along, and he brought about all that. You even hear that in churches today, you know, many variations, you know, the ecumenical movement. There's many ways to be saved, but God had never taught that. God talks about in Jeremiah 32:34. See, everybody can't be right, okay? We can get off that trip, and we need to know how to rightfully divide the word of what is true. And this is Jeremiah 32:39. He said, and I will give them one heart in one way. Jeremiah 32:39, one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. So that one, they should know one way. You don't have multiple ways to enter into a relationship with God. So that's one of your first lies that you have. You know, and so I look at this and I'm looking at it, and so he goes on to tell her, so that, and God do know that, you know, so he's promised her enlightenment, the gazing woman. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant. Now listen to this, to the eye, to your spiritual understanding, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the tree of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, where's the problem here? First of all, God gave the commandment to the man. What is he doing following his wife? He left his headship to come up under his wife. You know, automatically she was told what not to do. So when she did that, he should have rejected the very thought of it. I am not following your madness. God said, on the day I eat that, I am going to die. It says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. This is the really, if you really pay attention to what's going on, this is where lust, if you're really paying, looking at it realistically. If their eyes were just open, they looked at when they seen the nakedness, they probably wouldn't have really been bothered, but there was more to it than that. That's where lust had come alive. The eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice. This is the power and authority of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. They know they have done something wrong of the garden. So it is not just the eating of that tree. Let's look at, because I'm kind of jumping, but let's look at the commandments and see what all really happened at that tree. In verse 20 of Exodus, it says, and the Lord God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now here's where the eternal law is now being written down for Moses. In the law of harmony, out of the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other, let me get these glasses on people so I can see this clearly. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What did they do when they submitted to Satan? They put him before God. Thou shalt make unto them any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven or in the earth or beneath that is in the water underneath. Thou shalt not bow down themselves to them. What did they do? They submitted to Satan. Satan told them, and through his obedience to his wife or following his wife, he bowed down to Satan. He put Satan's word above God's word. He says, and thou shalt not serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the father upon the child, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And he said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold thee guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So remember this Sabbath day. This is the day we're on. This is in all thy work, in thy work. For 7 days thou shalt labor. Let's skip down. We're just talking about the Sabbath. But the 7 days thou God, wait. The 7 days is the Sabbath. The 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy sons nor thy daughters, thy maidservants nor thy manservants, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within the gate. It says, for in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And in the seventh day, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. He said, honor thy father and thy mother. Now God would have been considered their father, so they dishonored God automatically. They didn't obey their parents. that thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. Thou shalt not kill. So that's why Cain was guilty of murder, because these are the eternal laws. These laws were not written at first. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. What they do? Let the tree, he told them, don't take it. If you take something that is not yours, then it is theft. Thou shalt not bear false witness, what Satan did. He bear false witness against God, against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. She was coveting, desiring to have something that was not hers, thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. Okay, and all the people saw the thunder and the lightning and the noise of the trumpets and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they removed and stood afar. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. But this is the fear of the Lord that was on them. Okay? And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for the God is come, prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not, that you don't have a rebellious nature, because that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. They rebelled against God. Satan was the one who started this rebellion. Here's why we are in the condition we're in today. So the garden, when the garden was not just a simple thing of eating the fruit, there were several commandments that were broken, even though they were not written. You know, they put another God before God. They bowed themselves down. They disobeyed their parent. There was covetousness. There was stealing. You know, all that went on in the garden. It was not just as cut and dry as you hear at your Sunday service. But what did this do to us? It disconnected us and brought the wrath of God upon us. Because people say, well, why am I being punished for my parents? It's because just like you growing up in a house, 9 out of 10, if you come out of a house and your parents smoke and drink, you're going to grow up smoking and drinking. So habits pass. That's what it means by really being born in the sin. You grow up alienated from God already. And so then as you're growing in your environment, in your home, you're picking up all these habits that your parents have. You know, you say, well, my parents are good, but they're still somewhere in there that they're rejecting God or not obeying the word of God. We're looking at Corinthians 15 when he talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it talks about what happened, verse 21. Okay, he says, for since by man came death, see, Adam brought death upon the whole human family. He disconnected us from God, and he brought us under the judgment of God. It says, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all died, all of us were disconnected from God through Adam, through the action that they took in that garden. That is how we end up in sin. Okay? All die, like he said. Even so, you know, we're all born here being alienated from God. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit. After that, they that are Christ's at his coming. So, when we really look at this and you actually understand what is being told to you, rightfully, you know, not an interpretation, but a revelation. What has really happened? We're born alienated from God. We're born with a rebellious nature. Because you talk, you look, go back to Cain. When before Cain was at the door, when he talked about Satan, he called Satan sin. He said, sin is at the door, and you shall rule over him. But he desired to rule over him. So that's where the first place sin is mentioned. So that means a rebellious nature. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Although it looks like a whole lot of stuff because of how long we've been here on this planet, this is what he did. We got from out of his power. We got from under God, out of his government, out of his theocracy. And so now man began to govern himself, and you can see the state of man affairs today. America is in a decline. You look around, the world is further isolating America. America just act like they just lost their mind. They're testing everybody to see who's going to put us out off the map. You know, and then just the condition, people out killing one another, and people who are supposed to protect you, the police is out, just lost their mind, they trigger happy, shooting everybody. You know, don't touch nothing. You liable to get your head blew off for what? Sin is running rampant, that rebellious nature, that nature that's contrary to the word of God. So what did Christ bring you? With his death, his burial, resurrection. The resurrection represented that he was accepted by God, because if not, he would have stayed dead. When he got up, that proved that he God had accepted him, and that showed the power of God, because no matter what he did to him, God still had the power to raise that man back up. Okay. So when he died, he washed us, and it starts off, we can look at Revelations 1 and 5, you know, because first of all, the promise of his coming is in here too. Let me kind of skip down here, because I'm always mindful of my time too here. And he goes on to say, and he said, verse 11, he said, who told thee? Okay, verse 11 in Genesis. Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman. Now here we're going to pass the blame. He shouldn't say, hey, I messed up. But we pass the blame like we do today. We rather see when we're wrong, we rather see somebody else wrong instead of accepting that we're just as much as at fault as that next person. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? You brought death pretty much into the human family. And the woman said, the serpent, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto Satan, to the serpent, because I have done this, this is where Satan gets cursed at. He was never cursed before this time. Because they got a pre-Adamite thought, Pangea and all that stuff they talk about, or I don't know exactly. Whatever the case is, the pre-Adamite man, when they talk about Satan, the earth was messed up, and then they brought it back, and they tried to, no, that's not what happened. Satan did not get cursed then. He got cursed here when he blasphemed. When he deceived man, he, like he said, he was a murderer from the beginning, when he walked Adam and Eve off into death. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. He shall be consumed with the desire to destroy men. But he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Okay, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we find out there's going to be hostility between the people of God as well as Jesus. And you see in 4:4, because women don't have seed, Galatians 4:4, women do not carry a seed in her. You know, the man usually has the sperm, so he was talking about a virgin birth. This is Galatians 4, so, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, what? Made of a woman. Made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of son. How do we go about that? How do we get to the born-again experience? The born-again experience, like he said, except a man be born of water and the spirit. You know, the applying of the blood to your life, it's in Acts 2:38, where it tells you to repent, turn away from what you think is right. And he says, be baptized, every one of you, how? That's water, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins, which is Revelations 1 and 5. He said, he washed it from our sins in his own blood. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's water and spirit. In Romans 8, it tells you, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know, so you have to have this. In order to enter into, you got to be baptized, fully submerged in water with somebody calling out the name of Jesus over you. Or you have never taken advantage of your forgiveness of sin. You're still in sin. So I'll be back with you guys. What's going to be next Saturday. If I do something earlier, you'll see me posted. But I thank you guys for coming out to the Revolutionary Gospel News. I ask for your support. Go out and get my books. The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, The Caliphate, and the Rise of the Islamic Nation. And be born again, people. That's the only way you're going to beat what's going on in our world today, because we're at an end. And there's no other way to beat that but to submit to God and get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins and the infilling of the Spirit. Other than that, you're not a part of the kingdom. You will not even be able to even enter into the kingdom. You can listen to all these foreign false doctrines, and you'll find it out that if you don't obey God's word, it's not going to mean nothing at the end of the day. Once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News, and I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great evening.